This is the Middle East Report. Each week, we break through the lies and deceptions of the news media when it comes to Israel and the Middle East to bring you truthful reporting on what's happening in that region of the world. And of course, we connect you to the people, places, and land of Israel every single week here on the Middle East Report. Today, we're going to talk about some amazing things that happened this past week in the land of Israel with my dear friend, Chris Mitchell, who is the CBN Middle East Bureau Chief for CBN News. Chris, thank you for joining us directly there from the land of Israel.
John, great to be with you again.
We appreciate everything that CBN News does. You guys have a heartbeat on what's happening there in that region. You are based right there in the capital city of Israel. So thank you for everything you do to bring us the news and information that we need to know about what's happening there in the land of Israel.
Well, John, we consider it a privilege, really an opportunity to be here in Jerusalem, a real privilege. We strive to be sort of like the sons and daughters of Issachar who understood the times and know what Israel should do. And we hope through our reporting, we can provide the kind of biblical insight and perspective. I know that you want to as well. And so people can be informed, educated, and so people can pray and know how to intercede for praying for the peace of Jerusalem, for the leaders here, and the events that matter, and they really have an impact not only here in Israel and the Middle East, but around the world, and especially there in the United States.
I want to encourage everybody to connect with CBN and what they do. You can do that in just a couple of ways here, JerusalemDateline.com. Chris and his staff put out twice a week some beautiful 30-minute videos on what's happening there in the land of Israel. You can get that there, JerusalemDateline.com or CBNNews.com. Two great places for you to go to keep informed and updated on what's happening there in the land of Israel. Chris, dramatic things have happened there in the Middle East this past week, and I want you to just go ahead and give us an overview of this peace plan that was signed there in Egypt and some of the main points, if you want to talk about any of them.
Yeah, well, just, you know, ever since October 7th, John, these past 2 years have been some of the most intense reporting I think we've had since I've been here for 25 years. Just biblical events, historic events, kind of groundbreaking events for the whole Middle East. So, and this week is no exception. Just an amazing development on Monday. I was over the weekend in a place in Tel Aviv called Hostage Square, sort of the emotional epicenter of those that were advocating for the many hostages that were in Hamas captivity, many of them kept in, you know, Hamas tunnels, dungeons, basically. And finally, there was an agreement between Hamas and Israel, brokered by primarily President Donald Trump, along with Prime Minister Netanyahu, where all of the remaining living hostages, number 20 in all, and the 28 deceased hostages, their bodies to be returned as well. You know, John, when I was in Hostage Square, you could just feel the anticipation of all of the people of Israel. Israel is more like a family than a country sometimes, and the degree of separations between people is very small. Like when I got into the Hostage Square on Sunday, I believe, I ran into a man. He just asked me where I was from and what I was doing. And he knew one of the hostages. And he said, and this is just a few hours before they were actually released, he said, when they come home, I can breathe again. And I heard the very same comment not too long after that. Really a sense here in Israel, John, where people were holding their breaths, waiting for them to come home so that they can finally breathe again. And it happened. They were released. And at the same time, and it was, John, these two major developments were going on the same time at Monday. You can appreciate this as a reporter. You have this major development of when are the hostages going to be released? Is it going to be 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. from 6 to 8 or 6 to 10? Is going to be three different places where they're going to be released? And at the same time, President Trump is on his way on Air Force One to land in at David Ben-Gurion Airport, go directly to the Knesset and speak to the Knesset. We did a couple of CBN News lives on YouTube while he came. So these two major stories going on simultaneously. And then during the morning, the hostages were released, not all at once, but as a course of several hours. In the meantime, President Trump landed, met with Prime Minister Netanyahu, the President of Israel, Isaac Herzog, and went to the Knesset. And, you know, I was just reading something earlier today, John. A reporter from Channel 12 said he's been covering the Knesset for 25 years, and he's never seen anything like when President Trump came and spoke to the Knesset. It was sort of, well, for one thing, there was sort of such a close connection between Prime Minister Netanyahu and Trump. Hearts, I guess, intertwined to bring the hostages home. You could just tell the appreciation they had for each other. And then also the love that he was showing to the people of Israel and standing with them. He was very extemporaneous as well, which President Trump can do. There were a couple of things after the opposition leader, Yair Lapid, spoke. When Trump got up, he says, "Bibi, I like this guy. Get along with him." Got a lot of laughs in the Knesset. The other thing President Trump said to the president of Israel, Isaac Herzog, "Why don't you pardon Benjamin Netanyahu," referring to the trials that Netanyahu was going through. Everyone had a good laugh about that as well. But the level of support that President Trump showered on Israel was something many people hadn't seen in quite a long time. So the hostages were released. President Trump went on from Jerusalem to Sharm el-Sheikh. He signed that deal. They were signed by the Emir of Qatar, President Erdogan from Turkey, el-Sisi, President of Egypt, and Donald Trump, attended by, I think, 30 world leaders. So there was a great anticipation that this could be a peace between Israel and Hamas, and also for the region. Reality has set in since then, John, that Hamas is not left. They're pledging not to disarm, which was the beginning of phase two. Phase one being the release of all the hostages and, by the way, the release of up to almost 2,000 Palestinian prisoners, which, well, for some is a bitter pill to swallow, because historically, when prisoners have been released in the past, many of them go back to terror attacks. So that was a hard thing to accept for many Israelis. But that's what's happened. And now we're at beginning of phase two. But it looks like Hamas will not disarm voluntarily. They are enacting their own brand of brutal vigilante justice by executing collaborators or enemies on the streets of Gaza. And they've taken over, you know, some parts of Gaza right now. So all that to say, it's been an eventful, historic week, more things to come. But I think the big thing, John, for Israelis is that the hostages have come home. This was a 2-year wait. And I think this emotionally burden that Israelis have carried for 2 years behind them.
What is the sense there in Israel and with the government if Hamas doesn't, you know, fully lay down their weapons? And you've said, hey, they're not going to do that. Every indication is that they are not going to lay down their weapons. And so how do you, you know, see Israel responding to that? We've already heard how, you know, Trump has said, hey, if you don't lay down your weapons, we're gonna come in there and it could be violently done to make you lay down your weapons. So this peace plan, I mean, it's very fragile.
It is. And I think Netanyahu in a CBS interview referred to what President Trump had intimated in the past, that, you know, if they don't disarm, then, you know, we'll do it for them. Now, who does that is a good question. The IDF is pulled back to what's called the yellow line, and they still control 53% of the Gaza Strip. But does this mean that they will go back and take over, basically land they've already taken over? I think they controlled about 80% of Gaza while they were in that last major operation that many people probably remember against Gaza City. They had surrounded Gaza City. But in the meantime, the negotiations continued and there was a breakthrough. It feels like some people believe here in Israel it was a premature breakthrough. We're not allowing Israel to finish the job and really defeat Hamas. And so that's probably the question right now. Who's going to disarm Hamas and how will that happen? I don't believe there'll be American boots on the ground there. They are 200 troops were sent here, but we understand that they're not going to be inside Gaza, but they will help monitor the transfer of power from Hamas to whomever is going to control Gaza. One of the points of the 20-point plan, John, was the called the ISF, the International Stabilization Force, that would be in control of Gaza. Now, how do we get to that stage? I think is a pretty open question right now.
So many things that are unanswered right now in a very fragile peace situation there in the Middle East. I want to get your perspective right now on some of the players in this peace plan. You've got Qatari, and then you have the country of Turkey, the leader of Turkey, who is a big part of this peace plan. He was there when, you know, this peace deal was signed there in Egypt, and the leader of that particular country said, hey, Hamas, you know, is not a terrorist organization. You know, they're just a resistance organization, and here they are, you know, a part of this peace plan. What's your perspective on that?
Well, it's very interesting, John. You know, when I was looking at the signing ceremony, there were four that signed it. And as I said, the Emir of Qatar, the president of Egypt, the president of Turkey, and President Trump, and then all the other leaders behind them. Now, two of the four are supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas is actually was spawned off of the Muslim Brotherhood. And Qatar has funded Hamas for years, and literally probably billions of dollars over the time that they have been in control of Gaza. And then President of Turkey, Recep Erdogan, he is a supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood. And as you said, he doesn't call Hamas terrorists, but resistance fighters. And he has been very critical of Israel, you know, blaming them as well as many others, Israel of genocide, which is demonstrably untrue. And the so you have two of the four that were supporting Muslim Brotherhood and basically supporting Hamas. Interesting that President el-Sisi and Egypt has actually banned the Muslim Brotherhood. And so it was just an odd mixture of those that signed it. If you read the agreement, it's very vague, a lot of nice sounding words, but I think short on specifics. So that's sort of my perspective, especially the fact that Qatar are, you know, supporters of Hamas and very critical at times of Israel.
So many questions to be answered in the days and the months ahead. And of course, we want to encourage everybody to keep informed about what's happening there. A really great way for you to do that is to connect with CBN. And I just want to encourage you here on the Middle East Report to do that. A couple of ways for you to do that. JerusalemDateline.com, JerusalemDateline.com. Go to that website. Chris and his staff twice a week put out these 30-minute videos, and they are so well done, so professional, and so informative. And they bring in the Word of God to these videos as well. And you can watch them online absolutely free. JerusalemDateline.com. Please go to that website and get some more information about that. And then CBNNews.com, another great source for you to go to if you want to keep up to date with news and information, and especially, you know, things happening there in the Middle East. Chris, when the president was in Egypt and he was signing this, or I think he might have said this at the Knesset, he said, well, we have a holy land that is finally at peace. And I love President Trump. I'm so thankful for what he has done with this peace plan here. But I think that might be a little bit of a stretch to say that the Holy Land you know, is finally at peace. Of course, we have Israel and what Israel and the United States has done to Iran, and then you had Hezbollah and all the other different players around Israel. But literally, peace in the Middle East is not going to come until the Prince of Peace, you know, comes. So what's your perspective on what, you know, President Donald Trump said, peace has finally come to the Middle East?
Well, it might be what he wants to happen, and as well as many, many other people want to happen. But like you said, there's only one person in heaven and earth to bring true peace here to the Middle East, and that will be Jesus when he comes to rule and reign here. In the meantime, there are still a lot of players that don't get along. And to your point, though, from 2 years from October 7th, it's a dramatically different landscape. 2 years ago, Iran was on the verge of having a nuclear weapon. Hezbollah was probably one of the main threats besides Iran to Israel. They had maybe 150,000 to 200,000 rockets, missiles, and mortars aimed at Israel. Hezbollah, just before October 7th, you know, had thousands of rockets as well. And so, but now, 2 years later, Israel has done, some people call a miraculous job of defeating Hezbollah and Hamas and Iran and the Houthis. They're not all completely defeated. Hezbollah is still trying to regroup and rearm. Hamas, as we've noted, is still in control of some of Gaza. Iran is nothing what it was 2 years ago, and it's the 12-day war really eliminated much of its nuclear program, even though they say they still have some enriched uranium or up to weapons grade, I think about maybe 400 kilograms. But all of that to say, Israel is really the major power, military power in the region, and it's done an amazing job. And as to President Trump's speech that there's finally peace in the Middle East, you still have Hamas, you still have Hezbollah to a degree, and as I said, Iran, the Houthis have been degraded substantially, but they still try to fire some UAVs or missiles to Israel. And I think in a larger sense, John, and I think this is not necessarily these smaller proxies of Iran, but I think Turkey long term is a much bigger problem or potential enemy. We don't know about Syria right now, which way that will go. There is talk of normalization. And on the other hand, you know, because the Middle East can be quite complicated, there may be a season of an expansion of the Abraham Accords. We might see normalization with Saudi Arabia, and there might be other Arab countries that come in. Even talk of maybe Indonesia, the largest, the most populous Muslim nation in the world.
We're seeing so many prophetic things happen, and I think it's so important for all of us listening here to the Middle East Report to remember that, you know, God has his hand on Israel. God has his hand on the Jewish people. He's not going to, you know, let the state of Israel be destroyed. He's not going to let the Jewish people be destroyed. You know, there's people throughout history, obviously, Chris, who have tried to do that, but they have failed. And over the last 2 years, you know, we've seen war after war. And what happened on October 7, 2023, you know, tried to eliminate the Jewish people. It just hasn't happened, and it's not going to happen because God's word is true.
Amen. Amen. A lot of people have disparaged the Jewish people, especially in these last 2 years when we've seen this exponential rise of anti-Semitism. We've seen these rallies throughout European capitals, all the way to Australia, London, New York City, you know, crying, Palestine shall be free from the river to the sea. And so I think we may see that increase. And there are people who believe that this could be a time of exponential aliyah, this Hebrew word, just talking about Jews returning to the land of Zion, in the land of their forefathers. So that's one prophetic event that we are seeing, and I think we will see even more of, is this return of the Jewish people. Anecdotally, I've talked to some of my Jewish friends who say that there are many people, and this anecdote comes from people in the U.S., that they plan to come back to Israel. And if they don't, they want their children to move here to Israel because they believe Israel will be, the safest place for Jews, as anti-Semitism has increased and many people believe will increase even further.
Amazing things happening there in the Middle East. And I want to encourage you to connect with CBN. You can do that in a couple of ways. JerusalemDateline.com. JerusalemDateline.com. Chris and his staff put out 2 30-minute videos every single week. You can watch those online absolutely free. And they are so well done and informative. And I want to encourage you to check that out. JerusalemDateline.com. Or you can go to CBNNews.com. CBNNews.com. And you can get all the information there about what's happening in Israel and around the world. Chris, we started the program off, you know, talking about the toll on the families there in Israel and how difficult it's been. There's still deceased hostages that are there in Gaza, and Hamas is slowly releasing these hostages. Some of them are not even the deceased bodies, at least one that I know of that I've just read a report on. And so we really do need to continue to remember those families and to pray for those families, because they need closure as well.
Just like any family would want closure for their loved one, if they were in an accident or, in a hospital. So they want to be able to have that closure. And I think it's particularly important for Jewish people to make sure that they have a proper burial for their loved one. And I believe now we're maybe 7 out of the 28 bodies have been returned. The news is that, there'll be pressure put on Hamas. The report maybe that there is a group from Turkey to come and assist Hamas in finding the bodies. So that makes a great deal of closure. And for the living hostages, John, it has been just a joyful time, but also a sobering time, because you can imagine the impact emotionally, psychologically, physically to these hostages, and what that means now that they re-enter quote-unquote normal life. Does that mean nightmares and flashbacks and a long road to recovery physically? What kind of psychological help will they need? Unfortunately, Israel has experience with this with the other hostages that have been released, so there will be a very slow, gradual, and process of trying to help them re-enter into normal life. It is joyful, though, however, to see many of these reunions. CBN, Gordon Robertson did an interview with one of the wives of the hostage, but a long road to recovery for many of these, and why we should continue to pray for them.
CBN does an awesome job of giving you prayer points on how to pray with things going on there in Israel and the Middle East. That's one of the big things that they do, is giving you the tools that you need to pray, because they're all about that there at CBN. And I just want to encourage you to connect with CBN and just find out what they're doing there in the land of Israel. Connect with them. And again, a couple of websites, JerusalemDateline.com, where you can get these 2 30-minute videos every single week. And if they're on YouTube, social media, they've got a huge following all over social media. JerusalemDateline.com online, or CBNNews.com. You can check it out there as well. Please do pray for all of the families. Before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about USA Ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee. You've interviewed him. Tell me how you think he's doing there in the land of Israel.
I think he's doing an amazing job, John. He's the first evangelical Christian to be ambassador to Israel. And I think, as they say, he's really chosen by God for such a time as this. He has a wonderful relationship with the president. And as well, he's had a wonderful relationship with Prime Minister Netanyahu. So he seems to be the ideal man that can bridge the relationship between Israel and the United States. He's well respected here in Israel, well known as well. He had come here, I think, over 100 times to Israel. And I think since 1974, that was the first time that he came here. So he loves the land. He loves the people. He understands the Bible. And he sees this from a biblical perspective. I've heard him speak a number of times here, and he says that Israel is a land, a place with a people and a purpose that goes back to the time of Abraham. So he sees the current events through the lens of the Bible, and he has a great demeanor and a great, he's a people person. So you get that when you see him at public events. He's also a very good bass player, and I've seen him several times jamming with others. In fact, I heard the story that he was jamming with the former U.S. Ambassador David Friedman, who apparently plays as well, but Mike Huckabee plays a good bass, and so he's able to go up on stage and deliver a great speech or play a mean bass.
I love that. He is a great ambassador. We're all very, very proud of him here in the United States. And Chris, thank you so much for all that you guys are doing there with CBN. And again, I just want to encourage everybody to connect JerusalemDateline.com, JerusalemDateline.com, or CBNNews.com. Chris, we appreciate your coverage, your reliable, truthful coverage there of the Middle East. Thank you so much for all that you do.
John, just thank you. Kind words, and I just thank you. We do have a great staff here that makes it all happen. Just a real privilege to be with you, John, and for what you do as well.
I want to encourage you to reach out to CBN and connect with them. They've got a lot of great information for you and your family to keep informed and up to date with what's happening there in the Middle East and other places around the world and in our country. Check out CBNNews.com or JerusalemDateline.com. I want to leave you with some scripture verses from Isaiah 62, verse 1. Because I love Zion, I will not keep still. Because my heart yearns for Jerusalem, I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch. And then skipping down to verse 6, O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls that they will pray day and night continually. Take no rest, all you who pray to the Lord. And you know, that's really a calling for all of us to stand with the Jewish people, to pray for the land of Israel and for the Jewish people. And as we wrap up today's show, I just want to encourage you to do that. Make sure that you are praying for the Jewish people and praying for the land of Israel. They've gone through a lot over the last 2 years, and families are struggling, the country is struggling, and they could certainly use our prayers. I want to encourage you to get a podcast of the show. You can get that wherever you get your podcast. Just search for The Middle East Report or go to AFR.net and click on the podcast tab. Thanks for listening. I'm John Riley.